I come up here basically with three burdens, and we want to deliver one this morning with the help of the Lord. Let's open 1 Peter 3 and 12, please. 1 Peter 3 and 12. It said, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." I want to talk to us this morning, and I want to talk to the young people mainly about a relationship with God. How do you build that relationship? Is it really important to pray? Is it really important to read? Does it matter? Yes, it does. If you and I are going to have a relationship with God, we've got to do what we need to do, and that is spend time with the Lord. If you get acquainted with somebody, what do? You got to talk to them. You got to spend time with them. You've got to do things with them. There was a young couple in South Carolina. Of course, Molly's kin about everybody down there. So when I married in, I not only was a former pastor, but I come part of the family. But this particular couple, I really didn't know. She is a granddaughter to one of the main leaders there. And her husband, I definitely didn't know. And I'd seen her some little bit. And so I set out to get acquainted with Jason. Wanted to get to know him better. Talented man. And he's done some work for us and working on Molly's house. We're trying to get some things done to hopefully get it sold. And I spent time with him. I've talked to him. Religious things. Normal, just normal things, so to speak, about humankind. And I went back this last trip for the meeting. And I couldn't have asked him to be sweeter and kinder and loving. The relationship's beginning to be born. It's beginning to take hold. He knows a little bit about me. I know a little bit about him. Today, it said, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak? Are we heavy laden? Are we cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there." Why are we here? We're here to get a blessing, to be encouraged, to grow deeper, to be inspired, to be revived, be stirred, be challenged, be comforted, be healed, be saved, sanctified. We're here to socialize. Do we realize that about 6,000 people die per hour around the world? Have you been praying for the lost? The meeting? The working of the Spirit in this meeting. Have you been praying for people to be saved and sanctified? People to come out to meeting? Just why do we go to meetings? Why would ministers spend their time, two or three of us here, running up down a road cross country? Is it really necessary that we do these things? Well, I don't come particularly, well, I don't. I don't come to socialize, I come to work. But I not only want to do it here, but I got to do it at home. I wouldn't have made it nearly 50 years of living for God without God. I wouldn't have done it without knowing the touches of the Spirit, the encouragement of the Spirit, the reviving, the uplift, and the things. I've had to learn how to dump it all on Him. I've had to learn how to give it and surrender, to turn loose and to do the things that God would want me to do. I couldn't have done it without the Lord. We miss great blessings because we don't pray like we ought to. Some people say, "Well, I have a little morning prayer." How about during the day? How about of an evening? As I've gotten older, Molly and I have worship a lot of times in the evening. Really all the time, pretty well of an evening. But I've gotten old enough now, when I get tired enough, it's hard for me to stay awake. We can be reading and studying, and I'm finding myself falling asleep. I told Molly, I said, I think we need to start early in the evening. So I can stay awake a little easier, because it ain't as easy as it used to be. But the bottom line, for you to have a relationship, for you and I to know God, for you and I to understand the Scriptures, for you and I to have the depths. Listen, folks, it's not about just getting saved, young people. It's not about just going to service and reading a few Scriptures every day and praying 5 or 10 minutes. We're talking about a relationship that will take you all the way to the end of your life. A relationship that you can stand up at 50 and 60 years old, 70 years old, said, I got saved when I was 17, 16, 15. I got saved, and by the grace of God and by the help of God, I've been able to remain a relationship with God. And I've done it because I prayed, because I fasted, because I've studied, because I've read. I've read the Bible. I've read the commentaries. I've read things in the books in the Faith and Victory. I've done things because I have got close to God. We need a relationship. We need a relationship that will help our light to shine. There is people out there that they need what you've got. There is people out there that need encouragement, that need strength. They need you to come along. They need to see that lily in the valley. They need to see a Christ that is a domineering, well, not a domineering, but a mighty God. They need to see somebody that can help them. They need to know that there is somebody that is out there for them. And Lord, help us to live a light. To live a life, to be a light that they can look at and say, hey, I see something there I've never seen. They need somebody to stand up. It's not easy, like Brother Clint said, to be the only one in the crowd believing like we believe. It's not easy, young people, to do that. But I want to beg you this morning to build a relationship. To get a relationship with God that you have such a hold on Him that when everybody's walking away, you're still standing there. He said, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Have you ever felt like that your prayer wasn't getting very high above your head? Maybe not going out of the ceiling? Said His eyes are over the righteous. If you and I are righteous this morning, we have a relationship with God. His ears is open to our prayers. Even if the devil said, well, he's not listening to you. He don't want to see you. He don't want to have nothing to do with you. He don't love you. Do you know the devil tells people that God doesn't love them? He's the biggest liar that's ever been. He's a father of lies, and he goes out there and he says, God don't love you. You don't need to spend time with God. He don't hear your prayer. He's not watching over you. I'm going to tell you this morning, the Lord said the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open under their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Against them. Let's go to Matthew 6, chapter 5th verse. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to the Father, to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things that you have need of before you ask Him. For after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, he's saying here that when thou prayest, don't be as the hypocrites. But it says there that he said, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut the door, thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Here we are again. The Father sees you. He knows you. He knows your address. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows what your name is. He knows how old you are. And he's looking down. And he's wanting to have a deeper relationship with you and I. So enter into your closet. Now, is this a closet in the home? No. This is get your mind. Have you ever had to pray to pray? How many of you has ever had to pray to pray? You start praying and you just your mind is wandering all over the place and you can't get into the spirit of prayer. The Lord this morning wants you and I to pray till we can pray. And sometimes it's not that hard. Sometimes I can get out and get into a spirit of prayer real easy, real quick. But sometimes, folks, I remember one time we were traveling. This has been a number of years ago, and we were traveling, and the devil fought me all day long. We had a big van, and I literally got in the back of the van, put the other three in the front as much as I could, and I got back there, and I fought with the devil over and over and over. I couldn't get my mind pulled in. I couldn't get in a spirit of prayer, but I'm going to tell you I wasn't going to quit. And so I kept reaching out and I kept praying and kept praying and I kept rebuking the devil and standing against him. Finally, up in the afternoon, best I remember, I began to be able to center in. And all of a sudden I took off. And prayer became so easy. It was like God was right there. Oh, I enjoyed that. But it took a while. Enter into your closet. Get the world shut out. Get the thoughts of a boyfriend or a girlfriend or your job or things you want to do. Get them out of your mind and get centered into the Lord. I want to have help here, Lord. I need to know this scripture. I want to know more of the depths of the Word of God. I want to know more about that song. Lord, I just want to have you close by me. I want to pray for the unsaved. I want to pray for some of those that are dying by the hour. How many of you beg God to deal with the lost that are dying, going to die in the next 24 hours? That's one of my opening points. I pray for myself. I pray for grace. And I get on down and then it's time to pray for those that are going to die in the next 24 hours. Lord, have mercy on them. Deal with them. 6,000 people. It's a little more than that. But 6,000 people an hour die. If you multiply that out, that would be what? 12 sixes would be... No, 24 by 6. It'd be 72. It'd be about 144-something thousand a day. That's bigger than most towns in the United States. I go through a lot of towns. Ain't nowhere near that big. The town I live in, the city I live in, is only about 35,000. And that's where the university had two universities there. So God is wanting you and I to pray for those people that are going to die. Don't use feigned repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things that you have need of before you ask him. He knows all about you and I. It's not that we're telling him something he don't know. The bottom line is we're saying, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to know your mercy. I want to know your love. I want to know your pity and your compassion. I want a deeper understanding of these things, Lord. I just want you to hold me. Children or young people, when you was little, what happened when you got in trouble? When I mean trouble, you got hurt, skinned your knee or bumped your head or whatever. Who did you run to? Mom or daddy? Yeah. You wanted that comfort. Listen, folks, today there is not any more comforting individual than the God of heaven. I have proved that over and over. What, 8.5 years ago, 7.5 when Rebecca Ann died? The very touches. And it happened sometimes so quick that it left me stunned by what he'd done. And it took my thought totally off of my grief and totally off of me, and it got it onto him or onto something connected with him. And he, either that or he'd have, I've actually had the Lord have a person call me, a minister or a saint or somebody that had maybe a little understanding of the pain that I was suffering. And all of a sudden the phone would ring. I'd be praying. I'd say, Lord, have mercy. I've actually threw my hands up and I've looked up and said, Lord, have mercy. I can't take much more of this. And God would have somebody call within a few moments time. How you doing, Brother Carl? Well, I ain't doing well. And away we would go, and we would talk, and we would talk. And their comfort and their love. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like the comfort of God. He is able to do, and I've been amazed at the power and the ease that he done it. How quick he done it. The Bible said he's the God of all. A-L-L, that's capital A-L-L in my mind. Comfort with a capital C. All comfort. He is able to touch anybody with any type of grief at any time and raise them up and bless them. And you may have to pray some for it. But the bottom line is he'll do what nobody else can do. There's some of us understand some things in this room, but he understands all things. I had a niece kill herself. As quick as I could, I got to the parents and the other niece. And I spent some time with them. And I cried with them. I didn't know I was going to get into all this. You pray for me. And I cried with them and spent quite a bit of time on a Sunday afternoon with them because I couldn't go to the funeral. I always had a ticket bought, and I was headed to the east for a meeting. So I said, can I spend time with you? Yeah, sure, Uncle Carl, come on. Well, as I was leaving, another brother come and knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and he looked at me, and he said, I wonder if it'd be good for me to be here, something like that. And I said, brother, you'd understand more about it than most people, because his daughter had done exactly what the other daughter had done, my niece had done. God understands our pain better than anybody. We hurt ourselves because we don't go to God in prayer. Do you like that 179? Oh, the pain, the anguish that we can suffer. Young people, I beg you, it's nice to have somebody to talk to. I'm not saying it's nice. It's not. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And oh, what peace we often forfeit. And oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Learn to do that, young people. Learn to have Him as a center focus of every need that you've got. Whether it be pain, whether it be sickness, whether it be encouragement, whatever it might be, have Him the center focus and say, Lord, I need your help. I want you. I need you. And let Him touch you. Let Him prove His power, His comfort, His strength. Let Him help you to know that He really loves you in a depth that nobody else can do that. Oh, get in your closet. Shut out the world and get victory. Let's go to Luke 6 and 12. Luke 6 and 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. All right, Mark 1 and 35 said, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Why would Jesus pray? This is God in the flesh, the Son of God, the powerful Son of God. He's doing great things and going to do great things. But why would he pray? What does it matter? Because him and the Father had a relationship. And he only had so much time to accomplish what he was going to accomplish. He could not just idly while his days by. He was fixing to select 12 disciples that was going to take this work on. And he was going to fill them with the Holy Ghost. But he wanted to have the Father's agreement working with him hand in hand to be able to accomplish what they were going to accomplish and what he was going to accomplish. And so consequently he told them in Luke, the last chapter, I believe, he said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. But he wanted to select the right 12. That included Judas. Well, he prayed all night. How many of us has ever prayed all night? Prayed all day, fasted and prayed, set time aside. That's all you're going to do. I'm going to tell you there's decision, folks, you have to make. And you better pray more than 5 minutes, I guarantee you. Young people, you need to pray and you need to pray hard. If you're going to get married, if you're going to have a companion, I'm going to tell you the greatest thing you can do is pray a lot. And know for a fact that God has given you answers that you can stand on, because the one that hates you and hates her or him, that bottom line is that one's going to do everything they can do to separate you, to do damage to your marriage, to cause your marriage not to be a blessing to people around because of the fact of what the devil is going to do to try to hinder. So you can't pray enough. One brother made a statement once I heard. He said, marriage is chancy at its best, and that's quite true. It's quite true. But I do know you can have a marriage that can be a real blessing to you. So he was selecting his disciples. He went out there and in the morning, rising up a great while. It's wise to pray of a morning to start the day. Your mind's usually clear and you're refreshed once you get up and woke up. And you can go and you can spend time and pray. Well, Brother Carl, I got to go to work. Well, give yourself a little extra time. Don't leave God out of your day. Take him with you. Open the day in prayer. Spend time there. That's what he did. That's what he wants you to do. Psalms 55 and 17. Let's look there for a minute. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Evening and morning. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I think it says pray without ceasing. Is that scripture particularly? Yeah, pray without ceasing. James 5:13-16. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So he said, if any among you afflicted, let him pray. It said, evening and morning and noon will I pray. That was the three times. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the main time of prayer for the Israelites was in the afternoon, about 3 o'clock. And the Lord wanted them to come, pray, spend time in prayer. And then it said, pray without ceasing. When we come to a meeting, how much have you prayed for this meeting? Now, young people, you're the future church. You need to learn these things now. You need to learn to get a hold of God. You need to be able to pray for the meeting in a prayer and a time of prayer that will help the meeting to be a real blessing, that will open it wide open, so to speak, that will give power and authority, that will bless the ministers and the saints, young and old. The Lord wants you and I to beg God to have mercy on this prayer. Young people, the greatest thing you can do is spend time in prayer. Older people, spend time in prayer for the meeting, praise God. We don't just come here to socialize. We come here for spirituality too. And if we don't get what we need spiritually here, we've wasted a trip. And I'm not interested in any of us wasting a trip. It costs too much money and it takes too much time to go from Oklahoma to West Virginia. Done it quite a few times down through the years. So he said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. When we get into an affliction, I had a couple and children. I think there's 5 children. Mom, the dad. And they got sick. This was my first pastoral ship in Guthrie. And so I thought, well, they'll call right away for me to come pray for them. They didn't do it. I thought, well, that's odd. We've got a good relationship. What's the problem? So I called them and I talked to the mother, wife. And she said, Brother Carl, she said, we don't want to bother the pastor unless we absolutely have to. Said, we pray first. So I listened to what she was saying and said, we pray. If the Lord starts working, we don't even bother you. Well, that's nice. And we kept on talking, and she said, but if it's serious enough and we can't get what we need, if, in other words, we pray, if the Lord starts working, fine. If it doesn't happen right away, we get to looking at our lives and searching our lives out, best I remember, she told me, and said, then if it gets down to the point that you need to be called, we call you. Okay. So that's the way they operated. So is any afflicted among you, let him pray. Let him seek God. Lord, I'm sick. I've got pain. I've got trouble. I need help. Is any among you afflicted? Anybody afflicted here today? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The prayer of faith. Romans 12:12. Connection with this. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continue an instant in prayer. Continue an instant in prayer. Lord, help us to pray like the Lord would have us to pray. To get down and be in a depth. Not just get out and have a little old prayer and talk about yourself to the Lord or whatever, but let us get down to praying for others. I get amazed sometimes when I get to praying how long it takes me to pray. For this congregation, this body of sick people, these unsaved people over here, and I get to praying, and I pray for a good while. I may stop and think and rest a little bit, and then I'll start in again. I think, wow. You don't just pray for a lot of people and name them a name and beg God to touch them and encourage them. Cry over them. The lost. Those that are in depths of sickness. Those that are in depths of bereavement. You don't just really get under a burden and pray for them for 5 minutes and get much accomplished. The Lord Himself wants us to pray. He wants us to pray with feelings. 18th chapter of Matthew, the 19th verse. 18:19 of Matthew. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Mark 9:29. Connection with that. He said, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, again I say unto you, the Lord talking here, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall. Now this is not a might be or think about. Shall is an absolute. They ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Do we believe that today? Why do you get married? Well, I want a companion to do things with. You need a prayer partner too. You need one that can hook up with you. And the two of you said, one will chase 1,000 and two will put 10,000 to flight. There is something scripture-wise that, and I'm not saying one person can't pray. That's not what I'm saying. But the Bible said, if any two of you shall agree, teaming up with a team, husband and wife, pastor and somebody in the congregation, whatever it might be, two ministers, agree as touching anything, praying and begging, and looking, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Folks, I wonder if we really have faith to comprehend exactly what that's saying. And when we approach God, do we really take that in mind? Another scripture said, and I guess it's talking about mainly the ministers in that particular, in this particular place of fixed dimension. It said, you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Sister Marcia Cordaway had a heart attack in Guthrie when I was serving as pastor there. She was young. She's my age. I'm a few months older than her. So back 30-something years ago, we'd have been in our 30s. And she had a heart attack, and she was suffering and having problems and so forth. And wife and I'd go see her, our brother Jerry, and some would be there. I'd go by myself. And one afternoon as I was fixing to leave, the Lord gave me that scripture, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We went with inspired faith, confidence. We went in there and the Lord was working and we prayed for her and right then she got a touch. Everything changed from that point. She began to improve. There's another situation, Sister Brenda Wilkins. Now, there was more of us involved in that. But Sister Brenda Wilkins was quite sick. And she was going down over a period of months. We would go and visit with her and Brother Delmer and spend time with them. And she was getting worse and worse. Finally, her sister called my wife and said, I've watched her go along. And she would level out and she'd go down. She'd plane out. She'd go down. She'd plane out. I've watched this for months, Sister Rebecca. But said, now she's changing almost daily. We called for a fast. Four ministers, we fasted, prayed, looked to the Lord, and some of the congregation, along with four ministers, went in there on a night to pray for her in an evening. We sang some songs, and in these songs it talked about the hand of God and the healing of God. And I'd had that very thought in my mind. It's in my hand. So two of us were brethren. Two of them were sisters of ministers now, the four of us. And we started in. And the Lord came down and He touched her. A little bit, she began to do things. She said, I ain't done this in 6 months. She kept improving and improving. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Lord, help us to have faith in God that when we pray for people, or whether it be in person, over the phone, whatever it might be, that we pray for people that we feel definite by the very power that's in the Word of God and the Spirit of God that God's going to touch them. He's going to heal them. He's going to bless them. He's going to help them. How many times have you seen that happen? If two of you shall agree on earth, and where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. Brother Philip had a baby. I don't remember, Matthew or Michael, very sick. Called for us to come. Wife and I went. We visited a while and looked the child over. We got the baby, and I remember we laid it on the floor, and the four of us got down to pray. And I've heard him tell this many times, this ain't just me. And the presence of God come in that room. I mean, you could feel it. There was no doubt God was there. And we all, when we, I don't remember who all prayed, when we got through praying, wife and I got up and we just kind of eased out the door. The baby was well, and we went on our way thanking the Lord. Any two of you agree as touching anything, Lord, help us to have the faith. Help us to have a connection, a relationship. Young people, you get this by spending time alone with God. Getting to know Him. Know His Word. If you've got any questions on the Scripture, you can always call a pastor or minister, talk to grandma, grandpa, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. But the bottom line is the one that wrote the book knows it better than anybody else. And we can ask him anything. One old timer, if I mentioned his name, you would know, most of you would know who I'm talking about. He'd been dead now for a number of years. But I believe you'd know his name. You'd know, you'd heard of him anyway. And there were some scriptures in Ephesians, and he told me personally, that I heard him say it in a message. He said, I could not get an understanding on these scriptures for years. He said, I'd pray about it and pray about it. And I couldn't understand it. And he had a wise mind. He's one of the smartest men I guess I've ever known. He had a photogenic memory. And one day, after a long time, the Lord just opened it up to him one day. This is what it is right here. Listen, young people, you may not get the answer, say, on a scripture just like that. He's got more ways of revealing and opening up. And the Word of God is not any book. The Word of God is written by the power of God. We pray to God, talk to God, and God talks back through the Word of God and helps us to know how He is, what He is, and all about Him and all about what we need to do and how we need to do it. And the bottom line is if we'll spend time with God, He'll spend time with us. So He said right there, He said, and when he talked, it was quite a while, maybe several years. I'll be honest with you, with his intellect and his knowledge and all that he'd done in the ministry, I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit surprised that took that long. So if you're looking for something in the Word, God can inspire you this way on a scripture and that way on a scripture and this way on a scripture. I sat down here a few months ago, and one of my favorite scriptures, I lift up mine eyes in the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And I literally was sitting down in the recliner, and that scripture come to me, and the thought, my help, stood out in my mind. It fired me up. I wasn't interested in anything but just reading that, and I was going to read some of the Word when I sat down there. And I got fired up on those two words, my help. help. Listen, today God is my help. He's your help. He will help you in every way that we need, but we're going to have to pray about it. Ask Him for that help. Another scripture I've been fired up lately with is in Luke, the 11th chapter. I used it twice last night. Down in there, and I guess it's Brother Chad. Somebody mentioned this. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I've loved that scripture. I've used it in prayer probably thousands of times through the years of praying for people at the altar and so forth. I'm talking about the sick now. And I've used that. But do you realize in Luke, it says five words. I say unto you, ask. And that opened up to me so fresh. I thought, why hadn't I seen this before? I've read this scripture numbers of times. Why don't I see that? Listen, folks, God wants to give us fresh blessings. And if He gave it all to us, then one day we'd have it all right then. He wants to spread it out. He wants to teach us, open it up, and help us to understand the Word that we don't understand. And He's not going to give it to us all in one night or one day or one week or one year. He wants us to get it over a period of time. Praise God. And that way you get more blessings as you go down the road. But a lot of times we get it in prayer. The Lord will open it up and reveal it unto us. Like I said, my help. That's two words. That ain't anything big. That's not a great revelation. But the bottom line is He's helping me to understand that my help comes from Him. It don't come from me. It don't come from Molly Ann. It don't come from my daughters. It comes from Him. He is my help. He's your help. And He will do for you what nobody else can do. But we get it a lot of times on our knees in prayer. He'll come down and He'll touch. He'll reveal. He will open up. He will encourage. He will strengthen. He will do in prayer what will be the greatest blessings that you can go back to. My first marriage, we was living on the farm there in Thayer. I was helping Clayton and working in the gospel work. We was actually living, they had two houses, the main house and the white house. And we was sleeping and staying in that back house, but we'd done our eating and so forth up front where Rebecca would cook and so forth. We had been married maybe 6 months. I ain't totally sure on the time. But I was down in the corner of the living room. Harlan probably knows this house better than anybody in here besides me. And you come in the door right here, and I was back over here in the corner praying. And the Lord come down. And He began to spend time with me. Now, I loved my first wife, and I was a newlywed, but I got news for you. I didn't want nobody but God right then. That was such a blessing, the glory that was coming down. When I was out here and sick in 1987, he was praying, and I was sick, and at Brother Salmon's house, and one day, one evening, wasn't one day, this particular time, it was one evening, and all of a sudden, the Lord come by, and He come by so close, that the glory of God was so real that I was shouting and crying all at the same time. And Rebecca got up, her and Sister Vernon's in the kitchen, and she got up, she came in there and looked at me and said, "You okay? Are you all right?" I was crying and shouting and praising in a sick body, but the Lord was there. Listen, folks, God can take care of anything for you and I this morning. I said, "I'm fine. I'm fine, dear. The Lord just got real close to me. Real close." I had another episode of it when I was out here. This time they was playing a tape. And it was of singing. It was one of our songs. I'd have to get the number. And the Lord started pouring it on during that song. And I was beside myself in blessings. Praying. Let's go to Acts, the 12th chapter. Let's go to Acts, the 12th chapter. right, this is a situation, first verse. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him 4 squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, look at, consider, the angel of the Lord came upon him. A light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. He raised him up, saying, "Arise, get up quickly." And his chain fell off from his hands. The angel said to him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and he followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they come into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. When he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly confirmed that it was even so. And they said, then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto him how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go shew these things unto James and to the brethren." And he parted, and he went into another place. And now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him, found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Now, saints, there have been times that we as a body, and one of the main things I'm talking about is when Brother Bob and Sister Karen was in Africa. You remember that? Well, some of these young people don't remember that. They might not even been born then. But those of us a little bit older, she come down with malaria, and we were in Monarch as a body. And if I remember right, there was prayer going on in the minister's building, I think, 24 hours a day. That's what happened here. That was a real miracle. But I got news for you. God's still working miracles. We may have to pray them down, but God's still working miracles in 2021. How many has had an answer to prayer? This month, this week, this year. Is God working in 2021? Young people, what about you? How many answers to prayer have you had? If you don't, I'm telling you, it's time to get on your knees so you get one. Do you see the power of God working, delivering, uplifting, answering, and doing things that He's not ever done, praise God. And you're standing back in amazement going, "Wow, that's God. My God. The one that saved me, raise me up and out, set my feet on a solid rock, establish me, go and put a new song in my mouth, even praise be unto God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's my God. That's the one that has done something, has answered my prayer and blessed me and worked with me and done something. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, folks, this tabernacle ought to be a shouting because God has answered prayer in 2021. Amen. Sister Sherry Rich preached a message on rejoicing in Guthrie. And I've heard her preach a few times, but I'm going to tell you that little message was rich. And it'd be nice if we'd hear more praises in our services. I personally feel we're too quiet. I've been saying this for 40-something years. We're too quiet. We're sitting back. We had a man by the name of Danny Lane. He come along, and he was just the opposite. He wanted a lot of shouting, and people got to shouting and carrying on. And I think that drove us backwards instead of helping us out because the spirit of that thing. Well, when they left, we were in a kind of a numb state. But let me tell you, Danny Lane is who Danny Lane is, but God's who God is, and I'm going to tell you, he needs to be praised. We need to rejoice and praise God for what He's done. The very fact that He saved you and kept you and blessed you and heard and answered your prayer down through the years is a great blessing. And we ought to be saying, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Young people, pray and pray till you know you prayed through. And when you prayed through and God answered that prayer and set you on fire, so to speak, come and tell it. Let it be known that God is alive for the young people. He's real and He loves me and He's answered this prayer and He blessed me. And I want to tell you older folks, when the young ones get to shout, you join in with them. Don't go hide in a corner and say, well, I don't want that young person saying nothing. No, we want the young ones to stand forth, sound forth, and stand up and praise God. Well, the Lord got to working in Africa. Lord got Brother Bob. Well, I think, let's see, Sister Irma went out. Was it her? St. Michael. Brother Michael and Sister Irma went out there, I believe, and met them. Anyway, it all worked out. They got them back. I spent some time with them up there in their home, and Karen went lower and lower and lower and lower. She was getting worse and worse. And a minister told me that was there the night that she should have died. She said, Carl, she said it got down to the last breath, so to speak. Now listen, folks, they're not gone till they're gone. We should never give up praying and looking to God. And they wouldn't quit. And a number of us wouldn't quit. And we were praying, and she said just before she died, she didn't. And the Lord gave her a touch and began to turn that thing around and bring her out, praise God. She's married now, been married several years, got children. She's been a blessing with her testimony over and over. Listen, folks, God is alive and He's working. And today we as a body, we may have to pray this thing down, but I want to encourage you to join right in and don't hold back. God's still working in 2021. All right, let's go to Acts. No, I want Matthew. Matthew, the ninth chapter. Matthew, the ninth chapter. I'll be through in just a minute. Matthew 9 and 38. Then we'll jump to Ephesians 6. Well, 9 and 37 of Matthew. Now let's go 9:35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Ephesians 6 and 18. Ephesians 6 and 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, it said, pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers. We went a while. And we really didn't have any young ones starting out. I'm not getting any younger. I'm halfway, well, I'm 68, about 68 and a half now. And I really don't want to admit my age. It's been hard for me to accept my age. At times I think, well, I'd just go do it. But since I've been out here, about come to the conclusion, Carl, you're not as young as you used to be. Meeting after meeting, service after service is wearing on my older body. And Molly's no spring chicken either. She's a few months younger than I am. But listen, folks, we need the movement to go on. And we've had the Lord to bless some young ones and call them, and they're being a blessing to the church. I want to encourage you older people to pray for the young ones. Get behind the young ministers, teachers, singers. Get behind them and say, I love you, I appreciate you, keep doing the work. Pray that the Lord send laborers into the harvest. Listen, there is still people out there that want the truth. There is still people out there that need to be saved. There is still people out there that we need as a body to touch. And it happens with some of us that are called, whether it be a teacher or a missionary or a minister or whatever, a pastor, evangelist. Listen, we can't do everything. We've got to do it as a body. One person can't do it all. One minister and his family can't do it all. It's going to take you and I working as a team and as a body to be able to do the things that need to be done. Are we praying for the Lord to send in laborers? And then he said over here, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now he said, and for me. That utterance may be given. You ain't going to like what I'm fixing to say. But the bottom line is, I'd like everybody to get in this pulpit and try to preach one time. You would see and understand the pressure and the opposing powers of the enemy. Part of the time, not all the time, but he tries to oppose us and tries to stop. He does not want this word to go forth. He does not want there to be anointing. He does not want there to be power. Listen, folks, when a minister's in a pulpit and before he ever gets there, before the service ever starts, you and I ought to be praying. We ought to be begging God, have mercy on whoever. If it's one or two ministers, whatever. There've been enough times. That, well, right out here, one minister got up and preached about 15, 20 minutes and had plenty of time. And another minister got up and hooked right in with a message that they had already preached and finished out what they started. It takes God. And it takes prayer. And you and I need to be praying for these services. I beg you to pray for these services. Young people, I beg you to pray for these services. You want to see the blessings of the Lord. You want to see the power. While we want to have an anointed message, good meetings are prayed down. Good meetings are prayed down. And consequently, you can have a part in what goes on right up here in this pulpit by you praying. By you seeking God and saying, Lord, bless whoever gets up there tonight. Pour it out on them, Lord. Pour it out. That utterance be given. That utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what we want to do. We want to open this thing up, help you to understand some things. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. 1 Timothy 2, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a peaceful and a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, and that man is Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, he said, I exhort you, therefore. The writer here said, I'm exhorting. I'm letting you know that first of all, supplication, prayers, and intercession. In other words, it's not just getting down and praying in 5 minutes. We're going to do some supplication. We're going to do some interceding. We're going to spend time till we know that our prayers have gotten through and that we're going to have a blessing. Giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings. Listen, we got leaders out there. If we ever had leaders that need prayer, we got it now. I made the statement that I'd like to clean the house out and the Senate out and start all over again. I thought, well, maybe that's a little too brash, Carl. But we can pray, and God knows how to work. He knows how to put them in and how to set them down. I quit voting years and years and years ago. And you know why? Because the Lord told me, said, I set them up and I take them down and I don't need your vote. If you vote, that's fine. You got a conviction. My conviction is, he said, I don't want you getting involved with that. So I don't vote. Some people say, well, you ought to. I've had people, you ought to vote. I can't vote, folks. If I do it, I'd get in trouble with God. So I have to let you all do that, and I pray. For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life with all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come. Jesus paid a high price. A high price. When he visited me in that vision in Oregon that time, he looked at me. And if I remember right, he pointed at me and he said, I died for you, child. I died for you. Now, any song that has anything about death and the cross and so forth is a real blessing pretty well to me over and over. 212 is my main number. But the bottom line is there's a number. We had one or two this morning that talked about that one. I had to call for it to be sung. That third verse again is the bottom line. It talked about the death of Christ. He died for you. He paid a high price to get you to heaven. He wants you to go to heaven worse than you do. And he's going to do everything that he can to get you there. But he wants to use you as an instrument to beg God to save everybody. Not just a few people. Everybody. All right, let's go to Psalm 66 and finish up. 66 and 15. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices and fatlings. With the incense of rams I will offer bullocks with goats. Come and hear. All ye that fear God, and I will declare what he had done for my soul. I cried at him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which had not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Said, come and hear, all ye that fear God. Last June, wife and I got sick. I don't exactly know what it was, but in 1987, when I was sick here one night, and if Sister Shirley was here, she could back me up on this. Brother Mansell might be able to do it. But she come over and helped wife and I. And I got sick. Brother Sammons went to Pennsylvania and picked me up and brought me down here. And I stayed here 5 weeks. 3 weeks. 3 weeks here. And one night I couldn't breathe. It got in the night. That's the only night I got Brother Mark and them up to pray for me. But I had everybody praying that night because I couldn't breathe. It was like chains was wrapped around my chest and he was pulling it tight. He, devil, whoever. I was down. I couldn't hardly breathe at all. That put a, if you want to use the word of fear. Well, when I come down sick with this thing, it seemed to be affecting my breathing. And it alarmed me. I'm just going to tell you honest. I sat on the side of the bed and cried like a baby one night. Molly there behind me, by me, however. And she said, Carl, you don't know what it's going to do. I said, no, I don't. But I know this. When I look back at 87, it scares me, so to speak. Listen, folks, when you can't breathe, it's horrible. And if any of you have suffered with that, you know what I'm talking about. A few days later, and I don't remember just when it was in this situation, but I was praying. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you want a testimony, don't you? And he stopped me flat-footed, so to speak. You want a testimony, don't you? I thought, yeah. All right, you let me do what I want to do. That's what total sanctification and surrender and putting everything in the place where it needs to be. That's giving everything to God where he can take you and use you in any way he wants to do it. It might be with an affliction. It might be with a calling. It might be with this, this, and this. But the bottom line is he wants free reign to be able to do what he wants to do. Listen, folks, the most powerful thing, you that are not called into the ministry or have a calling, you've got a testimony. And that testimony is powerful, and it can help people and lift people and bless people. But we've got to have a testimony, and then we've got to tell it. So what's your testimony today? What's your prayer today? Are we praying for this meeting as we ought to? We're down to, what, three more services, I guess, tonight and two tomorrow? How much have you prayed? When you go home, young people, you won't be having the joys of all this meeting. You'll be back home. Well, I got Monarch coming up. Yeah, but Monarch goes 10 days, then you're back home again. You need to establish a prayer relationship with God in Christ, whereby you'll begin to have the depths that he wants you to have, the knowledge he wants you to have, and be in the place he wants you to be in. Pray for me. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers this morning.